Some of the things that we're going to be doing in this sermon series is just hearing stories from different people from the congregation. So there's a story of a young girl by the name of Toko who was, just sharing with us about her own experience with emotional abandonment. So just you can look on the screens when we play Toko's video.
Toko Kadewere, I am 25 years old. I grew up in what people thought or think is a perfect family. My dad was there, my mom was there. I have an older brother, and later on my little brother came along. So technically speaking, it wasn't so bad, really. And I basically had everything growing up. I went to a good school. I had everything I wanted in terms of material stuff. But it's only a couple of months ago that I realized that I grew up with emotional abandonment. And what that looked like for me was not being able to open up to my parents when something was going on in my life as a child. So I could be bullied at school and I'd tell my parents about it. But then because I was a very loud child, I was very naughty sometimes, they would always say something like, well, probably the reason you were bullied at school, or because you're maybe the reason your teacher beat you unfairly, was because you did something and they retaliated to what you did. And they said things like that to a point where I felt like I was never listened to and I could not lean on them on things that were happening in my life. So it's only a couple of months ago that I realized that actually I have a problem. And how that problem manifested in my life is that I was very angry, I was very agitated, especially around my parents and in my house especially. I could be around my friends and be the happiest person, but the moment I set foot into my parents' house, I would just become this very angry person. Like this angry energy would just overwhelm me, and I didn't know why. Everybody, because even the voice of my mom saying good morning would really In the sense of them apologizing like I expected them to. It's not about them having changed their behavior, but realizing that, you know, it's my life and I have to heal myself, and I cannot put the job of being a better person into someone else's hands. So I've learned to create boundaries for myself where I'm able to step back and assess my feelings and be able to point my feelings to myself or to a situation that happened and not blame someone else for that situation, especially my parents and my siblings, who I could say were all on the most receiving end, because they're the people that I'm mostly surrounded by. I'm able to step away and give myself time to just, you know, have the space to just breathe, because I also realize that I get stimulated a lot by my environments, and to also accept myself for who I am. To realize that in as much as I love people, I don't always love people, and that's okay. You know, sometimes it's okay to spend time with them, and other times it's okay to step back and give myself the grace to just be on my own, to be in a quiet space. So I feel like I'm in a much better space now. There's so much more healing that I am doing, and there's so much more work that needs to be done.
All right. Thank you, Toko, for sharing that story. Of how an experience with abandonment. When I was growing up, I had two fears. The first fear was the fear of heights. I don't know if I'm still like over that, because I like my feet touching the ground. I remember when I was thinking five or six years old, it was a hard time for me to cross the bridge, the Lilongwe bridge, you know, the big bridge. I mean, now bridges are falling, so maybe my fear is a bit justified, or was justified. But you know, like, I was so afraid of heights. And the second fear was the fear of the dark. I remember, like, going into a dark room was a hassle. Like, to be by myself in a dark room. And I would normally, like, you know, cover myself. So I learned when I was a kid to be covering my head over when I sleep so I could feel safe. But one story is that I think I was 6 or 7 years old. I'm in my home village. And I'm moving from my friend's house, going to my grandma's house in the evening, no lights. So like by 6 p.m., like everything is dark. And thankfully the moon was out that day. So I'm walking as fast as I could, going to my grandmom's house. And it wasn't far. It was like just 100 meters away. And as I was walking, my eye caught this black thing on the floor that was following me. I'm like, whoa, what is this? So I freak out and I start running. And when I was running, I noticed that this thing was running as hard as I was as well. And it took me a second to realize this was my own shadow. I was running away from my own shadow. And all of us have shadows that follow us. You know, things in life that have shaped us, even do shape our behaviors. We carry certain shadows, and they're more connected to a brokenness. And these things do influence our behaviors. They could be sinful parts of our shadows. For instance, you know, you could be carrying a shadow that's, you know, loves to please people. You know, something happened to you, and you just love to please people. And you may end up doing certain things that are against your conscience so that you can please people. There's a pastor in America who, his name is Pete Scazzaro, who kind of like suggests that often our shadows are connected to our desires and passions. There are people, you know, here that love to save, you know, and they can be so lost in doing a service. But actually, there's a shadow side to that. They're afraid to mingle with people. They're afraid to be with people. So they'll rather be in the kitchen doing service. They'll rather be somewhere else serving. So they're running away from connecting with people. There's a shadow there. You know, there are people that love speaking truth. I just love, like, speaking, you know, the truth to people. But they could be carrying a shadow that's like, okay, these guys are carrying an insecurity. They're carrying an insecurity where they want everybody else to see that they are competent and knowledgeable and they know things. There are the people that just love excellence, but their excellence can turn into perfectionism. And it's because they're actually wanting to run away from certain voices of shame in their lives. There's a shadow that's often connected to our things that we experience in life. And these shadows originate from all kinds of places, but they mainly come from wounds that we have experienced in life. And today, I want us to pay attention to this wound of abandonment, the wound of abandonment. Abandonment is a big issue in this country. It's a big issue right now where a lot of people are experiencing or have experienced emotional abandonment. A parent who was not around, was not present, created a gap in your life. A guardian who was showing favoritism when you were growing up and you felt alone. Other people were loved, but you felt alone. That feeling of abandonment. A spouse who was never present left a wound in your life. A boyfriend or a girlfriend who cheated so many times on you and that made you feel that this person is choosing someone else over me. That feeling of abandonment, the death of a loved one, death of a loved one. A lot of young people have lost a parent figure when they were young, and that includes myself. I lost my dad when I was 16, but the last born and myself, there's a 14-year gap, so he lost his dad when he was 2. That feeling, being left alone, a parent who literally left and never come back. Or maybe a parent who comes and goes and they are never really present. Or someone you looked up to never said anything kind to you and you felt alone and abandoned. A significant person in your life who never said I love you. A person you cherished who never admired you at all. These feelings of abandonment, these are real wounds that people carry. Now, when you're experiencing these feelings of abandonment, there are two temptations that you'll be prone to. The first temptation is the temptation of attachment. Temptation of attachment. This is when you get attached to someone or to something that makes you feel needed, that makes you feel valued, that makes you feel seen, that makes you feel heard. Anything that comes in your life that makes you feel those things, you'll find yourself getting attached to those things. Because all of us, the needs are the same. We all have a need to feel needed, to feel valued, to feel loved, to feel seen, and to feel heard. So essentially, we are feeding the need of validation in your life, in our life. So you can find yourself getting attached to anything else that communicates that to your life. You can find yourself clinging to someone because they make you feel needed. A lot of young people can do a job. You can be like in a workplace and your boss or somebody else says, hey, can you do this for me? And you know you don't enjoy doing that. You know you don't like it. But you still go and do it because that moment makes you feel needed. I am needed here. So you will do stuff that you don't even like that is feeding into that need of validation. And when you feel needed, you feel good about yourself. Some people will cling to someone because that person makes them feel valued. There are some people here that will say yes to things because that makes them feel a certain way. It makes them feel important. And when they feel important, it makes them feel good. There are people here that will cling to someone because that person's told them something, said, I love you. And it's the first time somebody's truly meant it. I love you. And they never heard that before. And that feeds into that need for validation. So they cling to the person. Some people will feel connected to someone because they feel hurt. Somebody came to you and said, really? They did that to you? I cannot believe that's what they say to you. And in that moment, you feel hurt. You're like, this is the person I need in my life. Or they can see me. And this person sees me. And sometimes, you can find yourself getting attached to unhealthy behaviors because of this need. It feeds something in you. You know, you're so afraid of being alone that you get attached even to unhealthy behaviors because you want somebody who can come alongside you. The first temptation of attachment. And the second temptation is the temptation of detachment, where you detach yourself. You detach yourself from other people. You know, other people are so afraid to commit to a relationship because they're so afraid of getting hurt. They're so afraid of getting hurt. Other people would even be in a relationship like 2 or 3 months and be like, no, I need to end this. Like, there's no reason, but I need to end this because if I don't end it first, this person is going to run away from me, therefore I'll be hurt. So I better do it first. And then they end it. And they jump in another relationship, they do the same. They end it. Because they don't want to get hurt. They're protecting themselves. So you can detach yourself from people. You can also detach yourself from God. Other people go to God only when they feel clean, when they feel like everything is perfect in my life, then I can go to God. I can go to church because I feel like this week has been a good week. So let me go to church. I've not sinned. And they want to clean themselves up before they're not giving God a chance to clean them and to sort their mess out. Some people detach themselves from themselves, their own reality. They are unwilling to actually look in, to look inside, to see the real story. And they are afraid to face their own shadows. They're afraid to face their own shadows. So they would rather live as though this thing is not there, running away from themselves. The temptation of detachment. In the passage that we have read today, Peter is speaking to a group of people who had believed in Jesus, but these guys are actually on the run. They are being persecuted because of Jesus Christ. They have believed in this gospel. So now they are on the run. They are being persecuted. And as they were there, Peter writes this to them. It's very, very possible that there were people here that were having these feelings of abandonment. They left relationships they cherished. They left families they cherished. Now they are out there. And Peter wants to remind them of something important that they have, and that is their identity in Christ. He wants them to remember that there's an identity that you have right now, and it's a better identity, the identity that you have in Christ. Because the identity that you have in Christ will address at least 3 needs that we have that are often attached to abandonment. And this is the need of belonging, the need for celebration, and the need for value. Our identity in Christ will address all of these needs. Because your identity in Christ will remind you of certain truths. Will remind you, truth number one, that you have to remember that you are chosen by God. You are chosen by God. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are chosen by God. God chooses his people. This is no mistake that you are here. This is no mistake that you believe in God. This is no mistake that your life is being changed. God has chosen you. You are not an accident at all. You are chosen by God. This means God is so intentional about you. So intentional about you. You're chosen by God. A person who is struggling with feelings of abandonment, they cannot ever imagine someone else prioritizing them. Someone else leaving everything and choosing them. But that's what God does. God chooses you. And we thank God that he never chooses us based on our performance. He never chooses us because we've been good. No, he never chooses us based on our abilities. He never chooses us based on our track record. He never chooses us based on our losses and wins. Never. He chooses us because of what he has done for us. He chooses us because of his grace. So you are chosen by God. God chooses people, even those people with shadows like you. God chooses people, even people with fears like you. God chooses people, even people with insecurities like yourself. He has chosen you. You are God's choice. You are God's choice. And thankfully, this choice isn't just there, but actually there's a purpose to this. And the purpose is that so that we can declare the praises of him who has called us into wonderful light. We can declare the praise of him who has called us into wonderful light. You are chosen by God. Display his kingdom, you know, to the world. You have chosen by God to display his beauties to the world. So your identity in Christ affirms that you are chosen by God. And you need to remember that. Number two, remember that you are celebrated by God. You're celebrated by God. 9, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are celebrated by God. You are celebrated by God. Yes, you might never have heard the I love you from a parent or somebody you admired in your life. Yes, you might never have heard good job from your boss. Yes, you might be the last person people consult. Now, for an idea, be like, hey, what do you think here? And you feel alone. Everybody else can be consulted but me. You feel left alone. God celebrates you. He celebrates you. You are celebrated by God. And he says, you are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Our growth group is this year is going through reading the Bible in a year plan. And we just finished Leviticus. And what, you know, I was so fascinated with the kind of clothes God was designing for the priests. God is an amazing designer. Like, you should just look into it and read it out. Absolutely amazing and fantastic. You know, very, very specific stuff. And when we are just picturing the robes that the priests were wearing. Amazing. Like, you wouldn't just pass by a priest. You'd definitely notice them, yeah? You notice, here they are. God says, you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. God doesn't want to just be lost out there. He says to you, I celebrate you. I celebrate you. You're celebrated by God because you're a holy nation, a people that are set apart. You have received mercy, a people that are covered by God. And we thank God that his celebration is also not based on our performance. It's not based on what we have done. You know, like, people celebrate kids because they've been good in school. Like, well done. You performed so well. Oh, you do that so well. Well done. Oh, the way you did that, I've never seen it happen that way. Good job on that. We celebrate people based on their performance, but God never does that. He never celebrates us based on our performance, but based on what he has done for us. So you've been given a new identity in God. Your sins are forgiven. You are welcome to God. He has made himself present to you because he celebrates you. Feel abandoned. It's hard for you to feel like you deserve a celebration. But you do. You deserve a celebration in God because in his sight, you are precious. You are precious. You are royalty. You are a people of God. You are the apple of his eye. Things over you. Things over you. He celebrates you. And lastly, remember that you are connected to God. Remember that you are connected to God. This speaks to our belonging, our need for belonging. He says, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. And then this one, he says, you are God's special possession. God's special possession. You need to remember that you belong to God. You belong to God. Now, it's one thing to know that you belong, and it's another to feel like you belong there. Yeah? You could belong to a school, but not feel like you belong there. You know, the way you're treated. You know, you could belong to a church, but really, I don't feel like I belong here. You could belong to a family. Yes, you come from the Pierce family or that family. Yes, you come from there, but do you actually feel that you belong there? And in God, you belong, but also it feels that way, that I actually belong here. Because God affirms that for you, that you belong to God. You are God's special possession. That special possession. You know, some of us grew up in those families that there was like special china for the guests. Like, you know, you'd keep it separate, right? Like, and some of us never even tried to eat from those, right? Because you'd be in trouble if you do that. You're like, you know, you are like more than that to God. You know? Kept in a closet somewhere. Because you're special possession to God. You were not a people, but now you are a people. You never had dignity or you never felt that in your life. But to God, you are now a people. You never received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You belong to God. So our identity in Jesus Christ affirms that we are chosen by God, affirms that we are celebrated by God, and affirms that we are connected to God. And this is an antidote to the feelings of abandonment. Let's go back to shadows. The nature of shadows is that it appears big or small based on where the light is coming from, right? I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe your shadows feel big right now. Your mistakes, your wounds, and you're wondering, can anything be fixed in my life? And when we look at our weaknesses and vulnerabilities, when we look at it in these shadows, often our prayers are like, hey, God, remove these shadows from my life. Remove them. Get them off. But actually, God never answers our prayers that way. God's answer to your shadows is actually himself. Himself. Your need for belonging found in Jesus. Your need for validation, the answer to that is Jesus. Your need to feel loved, the answer to that is Jesus. Your need to feel valued and seen and heard, the answer to that is Jesus Christ. Because Christ often gives himself up to you as a gift to you that you should embrace. Embrace him as a gift to you. So with your wounds, go to God so that he may heal you. That he may heal you. All right. Let's just go into what practical steps can you take. Now, five things I want to suggest to you. Even if you do one of these, it will be amazing. At least somewhere you can start to apply this. Number one, believe in what Jesus has done for you. Believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you. believing what Jesus Christ has done for you is going to help you forgive people. It's going to help you forgive people. Some of you need to forgive your dads. Some of you need to forgive your moms or your guardians or your uncles and aunties. Some of you need to forgive your exes. And you can only do that. You can only do that if you believe what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because when you begin to see what Christ has done for you, then you begin to see people in the right way. You begin to see people that actually, it's very, very possible that the people that hurt me in my life were also carrying wounds of their own. The reason why your dad never said I love you when you were growing up, very possible he was carrying a wound. It's very possible he never even heard that from his dad. Boyfriend who cheated on you so many times, a girlfriend who cheated on you so many times, was probably carrying a wound themselves. A boss who was so mean to you, more likely they were carrying a wound their own. And when you begin to see what Jesus has done for you, you're going to be a bit more gracious. You're going to begin to see people in the right way. You're like, you know what? I can forgive them. Because they had no way of knowing any better than what they gave me. This is the only way. This is the only thing that they did embrace because of their own wounds, their own brokenness that they were carrying. So believe what Jesus Christ has done for you, because he has forgiven you, he welcomes you, and he is for you. Often, whatever God is to us, he calls us to be the same to other people. So believing what Jesus has done for you. Number two, be aware of your own shadows. Be aware of your own shadows. Some of us need to be so honest with ourselves. We need to be so real and open with ourselves. David in Psalm 139 says, "Search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart, O God, and show me." And what David prays in that moment, he says, "God, show me me. Show me me. Show me me, God." And we need to be willing to be like to look in, to see the wounds that we carry and the shadows that we carry. And can we be open and can we be real about these things? So be aware of your own shadows. Number three, create boundaries. Create boundaries. Now, boundaries are like fences. You don't build a fence for your neighbor, you build a fence for yourself. And some of us need to build boundaries around us, fences that we can have around us, you know, so that we can experience God's healing better for us. Now, your boundaries may look different from my boundaries. So whatever is helpful for you. Some of us, our boundary could be like, hey, I'm cutting this person off in my life. I forgive them, I love them, but hey, I don't want to be around here. This is a boundary, you know. Or maybe I need to make it clear to them, if this happens again, this is the consequence. I'm creating a boundary for myself. Now, so what boundaries do you need to create for you, for yourself, on your journey of healing? Number four, speak truth to yourself to overshadow the lies. Speak truth to yourself to overshadow the lies. I think we listen more to ourselves more than we speak truth to ourselves. And we need to be preaching truth to ourselves. We need to be speaking truth to ourselves more than we just listen to ourselves. So what does God say about you? God says you are chosen. You are celebrated. You are precious. What is God saying? What truth is God saying about you? You embrace that. Can you say those things to yourself? God says you're forgiven. Had mercy on you. And lastly, invite others in. Invite others in. Community is so important for your journey, on this journey of health. Very, very important. Allow other people to come alongside you. One of our values that we love to highlight is weak people growing together for transformation. And we're here, all weak people that are trying to grow together so we can see transformed lives. And we need to be willing to move with each other, but we also need to be willing to invite each other, you know, into our stories. So can you allow other people that you can trust with your story? And some maybe even seeing a therapist might be very good for you. They can help you uncover the shadows and the wounds so that you get the healing that God has for you. You carry a wound. More likely you do. God doesn't want you to remain there. He wants you to start a journey where he will heal you because he's capable of doing that. Let's close our eyes for a minute. What shadows are there in your life? What wounds are you carrying right now? You're here just feeling these feelings of abandonment because of the things that have happened to you or did happen to you in your life. Are you willing to just give yourself up to God right now? And this is not to say, God, forgive me for these feelings, but to say, God, carry me. Carry me, Lord. Carry me, Jesus. Just take a moment to just pray over yourself. God would carry you. You'd see those temptations of attachments or detachments in your life. You know, there's a wound somewhere that you need to uncover. Just come to God to receive his grace and love. God, we come to you this moment. We come to you, Lord, knowing that healing is found in you. We come to you, God, knowing that you are for us. You have chosen us. You celebrate us. You choose to connect with us. We offer our shadows and wounds to you today so we can receive healing from you, God. Give our brokenness to you. Save wholeness, God. Thank you, Lord, for you are so committed to us. In Jesus' name we pray.